I used to be a smoker too. I don't know what it is about tobacco researchers. I was 8. Well, thank you, everyone. I do have a job for the people in the back. My voice tends to be very soft, so if it gets too soft while I'm presenting, just give me a wave and I'll speak up. So I'm here today to talk to you about young adult smoking behavior and some of the influences on tobacco use in young adults. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on these studies, Roy Oman and Sarah Vesely, who are at the University of Oklahoma Health Sciences Center, and also to acknowledge the generous support of the Oklahoma Tobacco Research Center for supporting this study and for the Youth Asset Study for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Inasmuch Foundation. We have no financial disclosures or conflicts of interest to report today. So young adulthood is a very specific life stage, usually characterized around 18 to 29, although there's a little variance in how people tend to define that. But it's that period between late adolescence and adulthood where youth are experiencing times of transition and change as they're moving into very different social roles, where they're learning to make decisions for themselves, and as they're beginning to establish their social identity, figure out what that identity is going to be or create a new identity. And it's also a time where they're really experiencing changing social messages about tobacco use. They're old enough to smoke, they can purchase tobacco themselves, they're in venues where they can. And so this is a time when young adults are at a point in their life where they can either adopt a behavior or resist tobacco use that can impact them throughout their adulthood in terms of their quality of life, in terms of their health. So it's important to remember that the young adults are one of the most heavily targeted groups by the tobacco industry. They're kind of moving out of the children's market and moving into the older adolescents and young adults. So consequently, they become one of the groups in the country with the highest smoking rates. About 1 in 4 young adults now smokes, although that rate will vary depending on how they ask young adults about that tobacco use question. And just some examples here, Hannah Montana, Harry Potter, the vampire, right? All of these are just images. Younger adults are surrounded by images of smoking and people like them who are smoking. And now, according to some studies, nearly a third of adults who have ever used tobacco say that they tried their first tobacco product after the age of 18. So we have a group of young adults that is at a point where they can either engage in tobacco use or not. But it's important to remember that young adults also have some very different use patterns than older adolescents and adults, and have some very different ways that they define tobacco use and smoking. So young adults tend to be more social smokers, occasional smokers. They may smoke on weekends, smoke at parties, smoke while they drink, and they may do it very regularly every weekend. But if you ask them, are you a smoker, they'll say, well, no, I'm not a smoker. I just smoke on the weekends, or I just smoke at parties. So they have a very different kind of identity about who they are as a smoker. They're also more likely to use multiple forms of tobacco, which I think is very concerning. So they may smoke and then use smokeless when they can't smoke. They may use e-cigarettes when they can't smoke. They may be using smokeless and also smoking little cigars. So there are a variety of use patterns that are all coming together. These young adults are very different smokers than the smokers that we had 10 or 15 years ago. So one of the things that we're very interested in within young adults is, are there some factors around young adulthood or an older adolescence that might keep young adults from beginning to use any form of tobacco? What would that be that we could begin to look at some interventions? I think a lot of the research that's being done with young adults has really focused on cessation. Very important, trying to get young adults to stop smoking before they really move into adulthood and this is an established behavior. But I think it's also important to think about, could we find some ways to keep young adults from ever engaging in tobacco use at all so we don't have to spend the resources on cessation, which is really hard to do, to get people to stop smoking. So one approach that we've taken is to look at youth assets. So youth assets really come out of the positive youth development literature, or the resiliency literature you may be familiar with, and it's the idea of, do youth have personal qualities, interpersonal qualities, or things going on in the environment around them that keep them from engaging in health risk behaviors. It promotes health and promotes healthy behaviors in youth and healthy identities. These youth assets have been shown to protect youth from a variety of health risk behaviors, most notably risky sexual behaviors. That's where most of the research has been. But also there's been some research in alcohol use, in violence, preventing violent behaviors, and we're beginning to do some research with tobacco use. So could some of these youth assets help protect youth from tobacco use and also young adults? So to take a look at this, we utilize the Youth Asset Study. So this is a longitudinal study which is based in central Oklahoma. It was a 5-year study of adolescents, started around 2003 and concluded about 2008. So it was a 5-year study, and so 4 years after baseline. This is a very ethnically diverse group of youth, about 40% white, 50% female. And we recruited people in youth-parent pairs. So every year, the adolescent and a parent received an interview, and we came back every year to do that. The youth were 12 to 17 at wave 1, which made them about 18 to 22 at wave 5. So really nice to begin to look at that transition to young adulthood and things that are going on there. Amazingly, this study had a 96% retention rate. So pretty much everybody who started the study finished it. And if you've ever done anything where you try to do some follow-up, this is pretty amazing. We also, for an adolescent study, had almost a 90% valid interview completion rate, which if you ever work for adolescents, that's pretty good too. So what are the assets that we were looking at? What we chose to look at with tobacco use were 10 assets, kind of clustered around 3 different groupings. One had to do with family relationships. The second had to do with other significant relationships. Do you have an adult outside of your family who's very important to you that you can talk with about your problems? And positive peer role models. And then 4 assets that were more about personal qualities of young adults and also kind of that future orientation and aspirations for the future. So what's an asset, or how did we measure it? This is an example of the asset for family communication. So the assets were made up usually of 4 to 5 questions. Each one is assessed on a 4-point Likert scale. So the answers are usually a little bit different depending on the question, but it generally is like strongly disagree, disagree, agree, strongly agree. And you were thought to have the asset if you had an average score over all the questions of a 3, to the agree. So to give you a little bit of background before I talk about the study I want to present to you today, this is a study that's coming out in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, I believe maybe next month. And it is looking at young adults, and we're looking at, could assets that you have as an adolescent prevent you taking up smoking throughout the course of the study? So what we did is we pulled out the oldest adolescents in this group. They were age 15 to 17 at wave 1. And we said, the assets that you have right there at age 15 to 17, is that associated with not using tobacco at all over those 5 years? So we call those people never users. So if you have a particular asset when you're 15, 16, or 17, is that related to you being a never user over the course of 5 years? And so what we found here is that, yes, their assets were extremely important in terms of the relationship of being a never user. So what we want to look at are the ones in bold. And so over on the right, we'll see that family communication and relationship with mother, for those who did have the asset, they were about twice as likely or had twice the odds of being a never user over 5 waves than those who did not have that asset. Males benefited from that relationship with their father. And so males who had the asset at wave one were almost three times as likely to say that they were a never user over those five waves. And conversely, in terms of family again, those who said that their parents were keeping up with what they were doing, asking where they were going, were about 2.5 times, you know, more likely to be a never user. We also found out that that non-parental role model was very important, but here you're going to see an interaction, and on the next slide as well, with family structure, such that youth in two-parent families benefited from this asset, benefited greatly from having this asset, but youth in one-parent families did not. And similarly on the next, youth in two-parent families benefited greatly from having a positive peer role model, while the peers, while youth in one-parent families didn't. And then in terms of educational aspirations for the future, the same thing. We're really seeing our youth in two-parent families benefiting from that. So we saw that youth and young adults are benefiting greatly from these assets in terms of resisting tobacco use all the way through this transition to young adulthood. One of the questions that we had, though, was while this benefits as adolescents, what about once you're in young adulthood? So would some of these same relationships, with some of these same personal qualities, if you had that as a young adult, does that still prevent you from or protect you from tobacco use? And secondly, while it only was significant in one of the slides here with relationship with father, gender was almost coming up in terms of it was just almost significant in a variety of these assets. So one of the things that we did was we said, let's see if there's a difference in assets between males and females as young adults. So what I want to kind of talk to you about now is, what about the question of the assets that you have as a young adult, will that protect you from tobacco use the following year as a young adult? And then is that relationship different if you're a male or a female? And we also asked the question, we wanted to see, does that asset that you have as a young adult protect you from tobacco use the next year, regardless of if you've had that asset or not, as a younger person in wave one? So what did we do? We took the oldest youth at baseline, those 15 to 17-year-olds, so there were about 450, and we're going to look at the last two waves of the study. We're going to take that group and move them into the future for the last two waves of the study. So at wave four, this group was 17 to 21 years old, really depended on when your birthday is. I mean, the 17-year-olds were just like almost 18, just depended on when we scheduled them. And then at wave five then, that everyone had moved into that young adult phase of that 18 to 22 years old. So our measure of tobacco use is every year is that tobacco use in the last 30 days, straight off the YRBS, during the last 30 days if you used any form of tobacco, smoked, dipped, or chewed, which is very important in Oklahoma because we have a lot of smokeless use, and smokeless use along with little cigar and cigarette use. So our question was, if we look at the asset at wave four, what about tobacco use at wave five? And also looking at that, controlling for the asset that they had in wave one, along with age, ethnicity, parent education, and their family structure. And so what did we find? We found that the assets that you possess as a young adult did protect you from tobacco use in wave five, but it benefited females tremendously more than it benefited males. So to go through some of our results here, and we also had several interactions, a couple of interactions here with age. The family communication asset continued to benefit females, but only the oldest females. So those females who were 20 and 21 at wave four, if you did not have that asset, you were almost six times more likely to be using tobacco the next year than if you had the asset. Similarly, in the relationship with your mother, females who did not have that relationship were about 2.5 times more likely to report using tobacco use the next year. Relationship with father really didn't seem to have an impact once youth got older in terms of tobacco use. Excuse me. Parental monitoring was kind of interesting. One group benefited tremendously from that parental monitoring asset, and that was males who were 17 to 18 years old, right there at wave four. And males who did not have that asset were about 10 times more likely to report tobacco use the next year than males who did have that asset. We found, again, those non-parental role models very important for females. Positive peer role models, very important for females, but for females, again, in two-parent families rather than one-parent family. And then the other thing that came up, again, was this general self-confidence asset, really feeling like you can deal with whatever comes up in terms of your situation and in terms of, like, challenges as you're making that transition to young adulthood. Those who didn't feel that general self-confidence were almost 2.5 times more likely to smoke than those who did. So some of the conclusions or take-home messages to leave you with: these assets still matter, even for young adults. Just because you're moving out, just because you've left high school, doesn't mean that they still can't impact health risk behaviors. And parents are very important, along with non-parental role models. They can help young adults perhaps deal with stress, negotiate problems that they have, and can protect them against tobacco use and probably a variety of health risk behaviors. But it's very important to realize that the assets that we chose here, mostly relationship assets, females benefited from those much more than males. There are probably other assets that males would have benefited more from than females, but they weren't the ones that we chose in this study. And some of the things to think about here is the few interventions or studies that I've seen looking at trying to prevent tobacco use in young adults tend to all be targeted toward young adults. Maybe what we need to think about is that there are some very important people who may be able to influence tobacco use that aren't young adults, parents, grandparents, so that maybe we need to think about bringing them in, as well as this may be an excellent opportunity to look at our older adolescents, 16, 17, 18. They're getting ready to make a big life transition. How are we equipping them in terms of handling life stresses? Maybe we can bring an intervention in with parents and youth at that time to make sure that we develop these assets before they leave home. Also, I think it points to the importance of mentoring programs, both within the family and also within the work site. Remember that most youth are going on to something else besides college. They're going to technical school. They're going straight to work. And so where are those important adult relationships once youth leave their family home? So the message to leave you with today is that parents, adults, others still matter, and that they can truly protect young adults against tobacco use. And if you have any questions, I would be happy to answer those after we finish all of the other presentations. Thank you.